And I'm glad to hear the good news about you choosing a pastor. We bring you greetings from our home church, Addison Baptist Church, and Brother Pittman. And we will continue to think of you and pray for you. Please turn with me to the book of Hebrews this morning. Hebrews chapter 11. And we will be learning about the faith of Abraham. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. Now, the book of Hebrews, we don't really know who wrote it. Different people have different ideas, but it's kind of a mystery. But it is the Word of God, and it seems to have been written to Jewish people who were believers in Christ. And it seems like they were going through a difficult time, a time of persecution, when they perhaps were tempted to not identify themselves as believers in Christ. Maybe to even go back in some ways to Judaism. And so the writer of Hebrews takes great effort to show how Christ is better, how the new covenant is better than the old covenant, and how the hope that we have through Christ is so much better than what they had simply in the Jewish religion before Christ. And so, let's take a look at the faith of Abraham. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8 says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went." Let's ask the Lord's blessings. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning again and for another opportunity to look into your word. I pray, Father, that you will guide me by your grace, and I pray that you will teach us by your Holy Spirit. I pray for your blessing upon each member of the church here. I pray, Father, that by our faith we will make a difference among the people around us, that we will be a light in a dark place. I thank you, Father, for the salvation that you've given to us freely through Jesus Christ. May we be drawn to you. May we grow in our faith this morning. And I pray, Father, for your blessing upon all the requests that were mentioned earlier. And I thank you, Father, for all the things that you are doing and the ways that you are working in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Abraham, we see that faith is something that is active. We see what Abraham did because of the faith that he had. And so this morning, let's take a look at three things that Abraham did by faith. First of all, by faith, Abraham obeyed. Secondly, by faith, he sojourned. And thirdly, by faith, he offered his son Isaac. Let's begin with verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Notice that Abraham was called by God. This wasn't something that Abraham deserved because of something that was good in him. God wasn't obligated to call him. He hadn't earned God's favor. None of us can. He wasn't worthy of this, but by God's grace, God called him with a special calling. And we can rejoice in how God's call has come to us as well. We can't earn God's favor, his grace that he shows to us. In fact, Scripture says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. We weren't worthy of it. We were still sinners. And Jesus died for us. We can't make ourselves worthy. Rather, God is the one who makes us worthy. And each person has value. Even those that we would rather despise and look down upon. Why do they have value? Because they are created in the image of God. Yes, that image has been broken by sin. But by God's grace, in Christ, we are a new creation. Christ succeeded where Adam failed. And in Christ, we are made a new creation. And that image of God is restored. And we are accepted in the Beloved. Not accepted because of what you or I have done, but accepted because of what Christ did. And if we are in Him, then when God sees us, He sees His Son. What a wonderful thing it is to be accepted in Christ, accepted in the Beloved. Now, Abraham, in many ways, would not be a good candidate for God's calling. The world is filled with sin. God created a perfect world, but then sin entered it, and things got worse and worse, until finally, God sent a worldwide flood. But even after that, people again turn to idolatry. But God is going to do a work of salvation. And rather than using something great, He's going to use something small, just a family, to bring in this plan of salvation, this redemption. And for a man to be the head of this family, it seems like Abraham would be the wrong choice. After all, to have a family, you'd have to have kids. And Abraham's an old man, and he has no kids. His wife is barren. They want to have children, but it seems they are unable. But God can do the impossible. And He calls Abraham to be the father of a great nation. His family will be used by God in God's plan of salvation. And Abraham is called to go. God's call is a call of action, not a call just to stay where he is, but to move, to go out, to leave his comfort zone, to go to a place he has never been before. That's why it takes faith. He doesn't know where he's going. He doesn't know what the future will bring. He doesn't even know what it's like in this place that God is saying that He will give him as an inheritance. But by faith, what does Abraham do? We read, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. We see his faith by how he obeys. He trusts God. Not knowing where he's going, he steps out. You and I also, we show our faith as we obey God, stepping out not knowing what the future will hold, but trusting that God knows and that He holds our lives in His hand. We also are called. Jesus said to His disciples, "Follow me." And then He told them to extend that call of following, that call of discipleship. How far? To the whole world. He told them to go into all the world. He told them to teach all nations. And that word for teach means to disciple. They were to extend that call of following Jesus everywhere. That call has come to us as well. So by faith, Abraham started his journey. Have we also started that journey by faith? Do we have a personal relationship with God by faith in Jesus Christ? If not, what is it that we need to do? We need to recognize that we have sinned against a holy God. and that sin separates us from God. We need to repent, which means to turn away from sin, from going our own way, to go God's way, to follow Jesus, and believe in Jesus Christ. Not just to believe in his existence. After all, at the time of Jesus, everyone believed in his existence. He was right there in front of them. No, it was to trust in who he was and what he did for us, that he died and rose again for our salvation, so that we can be forgiven and accepted by God. To believe that what Jesus did, he did for us personally. Like the Apostle Paul said, sharing about his own testimony, he says that he believed that Jesus loved me and gave himself for me. It was something personal for Paul. Do we see it as something personal for us, that what Jesus did, that was for us? God's love is personal. What Jesus did, it was a personal sacrifice. Now we might say, this seems so simple. Why doesn't everyone receive God's salvation that is given to us freely in Christ? It's because sadly, so many have rebellious hearts, unwilling to repent. They would rather go their own way and not humble themselves to go God's way. The truth is, only by God's grace will our hearts be changed, that we humble ourselves and by faith trust in Christ. Now some might say, I want a relationship with God, but I don't think God wants me. Sometimes we look at our lives and we say, it's too messed up. God wouldn't want me. No one else wants me. But remember, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God showed his love for us in this way. It's not that we were worthy of it. While we were unworthy, God showed his love for us, and Christ died for us. What more could God do to prove his love for us? If you are here, or perhaps watching on the internet, and you desire a relationship with God through Christ, it's because God has put that desire in your heart. I remember growing up that a friend of mine had a great struggle with assurance of salvation. And he prayed many times. He walked forward. He would make professions. But he didn't have assurance because he was always worrying that he hadn't done it right. He hadn't said the right words. He hadn't done the right things. But it's not about the words that we say or how we walk forward. It's all about Christ. And our trust must be in him. For what Christ did was sufficient. By faith, Abraham started. And it is by faith that we also begin our spiritual journey. But that wasn't the end of it. Abraham didn't just need faith to begin. He also needed faith to continue. And so we read in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 9, by faith he sojourned. What does it mean to sojourn? If you are sojourning, it means that you are traveling through. You are not in your home. You're a stranger. And that's what it was like for Abraham. He was in the land of promise, but he was a stranger there. He was a foreigner there. And as he traveled around, he wasn't living in a fine house or mansion. No, he lived in a tent, traveling from place to place to place, worshiping God. He even had to go down to Egypt for a while, or at least he chose to go down, and then he came back. Verse 9 says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country. He was a sojourner, traveling through. And, you know, we also, in a way, are sojourners here in this world. We could also say this world, we feel like we don't belong here. We are not a part, or we shouldn't be a part of this world system, because our citizenship is in heaven. We are looking forward to that world to come, a new heavens and a new earth. That is what we are looking for. We are not to be building our mansions here below and just trusting that this will last forever, because it won't. Like Abraham, we know that this is just temporary and something better is coming. You know, Abraham might have had a really nice home in Ur of the Chaldees, but he left that. Whatever he had, his home, his family, his friends, his perhaps a nice farm, whatever he had there as a source of income, he left it all to be a sojourner, walking with God by faith. Some days were easier, some days were harder. And he needed faith to walk with God each day. By faith, we accept Christ as our Savior, and we begin our relationship with God. But that's not the end of faith. No, that is the beginning. And each day, we continue to walk with God by faith. We continue to live as sojourners in this world, knowing that we belong to God, not to this world. And he wasn't alone. His family also were sojourning with him. Look at what verse 9 says. He was dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Dwelling in tents with his son, his grandson. They too were following along. And yet they didn't just tag along on his coattails, trusting in his faith. They themselves had to have their own personal relationship with God. They also had to have their own personal faith. They couldn't just be accepted by Abraham's faith. Isaac needed a personal relationship with God as well. And in Scripture we read about him walking in the fields, perhaps in prayer, as he waits for his bride to be brought to him. And also we read about Jacob. Wow, Jacob had a lot of rough patches in his life, didn't he? But he also came to believe in God and to say, the God of Abraham is my God, whom I will serve and follow. He had some rough patches, and maybe we have had as well in our lives. But he had a personal faith in God. Each person has to have their own personal relationship with God by faith. So we see this calling included his family. But the calling was intended not just for the benefit of his family, but as God promised Abraham, the whole world would be blessed through him. The purpose of the calling was for the blessing of the world. And if we have been called by God and we rejoice in how he has called us, let us not forget that he has called us to be a blessing to others as well. Not just for us to enjoy God's blessings, but to share those blessings with others. We read in verse 10, about what Abraham looked for. Verse 10 says, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. What is that city that Abraham was looking for? What is the city whose builder and maker is God? I believe it's the New Jerusalem, that city that will come. It wasn't any city here on earth. Not Babylon, not Ur, not even Jerusalem. although Jerusalem was a special place. No, it's a city whose builder is God himself. What city are we looking for? I hope it's not a city in Ohio or Kentucky or West Virginia. I hope it's not Washington, D.C. I hope the city we are looking for is a city built by God. As we saw earlier this morning, all the kingdoms of this earth will be brought to nothing. It is God's kingdom, whose king is Jesus Christ. God's kingdom will last forever. And Abraham was looking for that city, the New Jerusalem. Now, this is important for the Hebrews to whom this book was written. In their time, it was Jerusalem that the Jews looked to. It was Jerusalem they traveled to for their holidays, for Passover. It was such a special place for them. They would sing songs as they walked to Jerusalem. But no, there's something better than that. The New Jerusalem. Jerusalem would be destroyed. Not very long, it would be destroyed by the Romans. It is the city built by God that will last. Abraham was looking for that city. Now, it was by God's grace that they finally had a child. It was a miracle. Look at what verse 11 says. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. This is by God's grace. Abram was as good as dead. It was physically impossible for him and Sarah to have a baby. They were ready to be great-grandparents. But by the power of God, they had a child. And from them a great nation came, as many as the stars of the sky. You couldn't even count the descendants that came from them. God had said to Abraham, go out, look up at the stars. That's what your descendants will be like. What an incredible thing for an old man like Abraham to believe. But by faith, they trusted God. They kept following on this journey. And finally, after many years, it didn't happen right away. After many years and some ups and downs, Abraham didn't always do the right thing. God was faithful to his promise. Can you imagine how happy Abram and Sarah were to hold that little baby? I know when I brought Abigail in, you know, she was the center of attention. You know, there's nothing like a newborn baby just to see the life, the joy that they bring. Imagine the joy brought to Abraham and Sarah as they looked in the face of this miracle baby. But this wasn't the end of Abram's journey. The writer then talks about the descendants of Abram, those that came from his family. Look at what verse 13 says. These all died in faith, the descendants of Abraham, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We see the faith of those Old Testament saints. What were they trusting in? They were looking toward God's fulfillment of his promises. The fulfillment would be Jesus Christ. And they saw by faith what God would do. They died not having received the promises, but having seen them from a distance. And not only did they see it, they were persuaded. They believed. And not only that, they embraced them. And they confessed we too, just like Abraham, we too are strangers and pilgrims in this world. Should we not do the same? As we, not looking forward like those Old Testament saints, but we look back at Jesus and we see how he is the fulfillment of all of God's promises, we too are persuaded and believe and trust in him. We embrace Christ as the fulfillment of God's promises. And we confess, yes, we are followers of Christ. We are strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Verse 14 says, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." What is that country they seek? Is it America? In our world, many are seeking America as the land of hope, the land of promise. And I think we do live in a wonderful country with wonderful freedoms that many would like to enjoy. But that's not the land that we seek. What is the country we seek? It is the city whose builder and maker is God. That should be the country we seek. Verse 15 says, "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned." You know, like the Israelites who left Egypt. They kept thinking about Egypt. They wanted to go back. In their hearts, they turned back to Egypt. If they kept thinking about where they came from, they'd want to go back there. No, they had their mind focused on that country to come. Verse 16 says, "Now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." What city? The New Jerusalem. God is preparing a city. Is that the city that we are looking for? And so we see, by faith, Abram obeyed God and started out on this journey. By faith, he sojourned. He walked with God. And by faith, those who were his descendants, they also followed God by faith, looking for the fulfillment of God's promises, looking for that better country, not Israel, not Jerusalem, but the country, the city whose builder and maker is God. But this wasn't the end of Abram's journey by faith. His faith would be tested. We don't like taking tests. This is the time when kids are going back to school, and you know, it's an exciting time. New teachers, new textbooks, new friends, and new tests. Most times, kids don't really enjoy taking tests. Adults don't really enjoy taking tests. It's kind of maybe like broccoli, if you don't like broccoli. You know, it's good for you, but you don't really like it. Abraham will have his faith tested. Look at what Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17 says. "By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son." God asked Abraham to do something that to him didn't make any sense. God told him to go to the land of Moriah, to take that child that had been born by a miracle, that child that he and his wife loved with all their hearts, and offer him as a burnt sacrifice. It didn't make sense. How could God fulfill the promises to make Abram a great nation, to bless the whole world through him, if his son was killed, if he was a burnt sacrifice? It doesn't make sense. And yet, Abraham, early in the morning, he packed up the supplies. He took Isaac and some servants, and they traveled 3 days to the land of Moriah. Imagine the heaviness in his heart as they left the servants there with the animals and taking the fire in a container, taking the wood for the altar. They begin to climb that mountain. And Isaac turns to his father and says, "Father, behold, we have the fire and we have the wood, but where's the sacrifice?" And Abraham, his heart heavy, says, "My son, God will provide a sacrifice. God will provide himself a lamb." They get to the top. They prepare the altar. And I think finally Isaac understands that he is the sacrifice. He is tied. And he was probably old enough that he could have fought it. But he too has faith. And Abram raises the knife, ready to offer his son. And he is stopped by the angel of the Lord, who says to him, "Now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." Abraham loved Isaac more than anything else, more than his own life, I'm sure. And he was willing to give God what he loved the most. It was a test of his faith. Now, God already knew all about Abram's faith. But I think Abraham learned some important lessons through this. In fact, look at what Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 18 says. It says that Abraham offered up his only begotten son. Verse 18, "Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." Abraham believed that God could raise his son from the dead. You know, Jesus said during his ministry, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." I think through this experience, Abraham saw a little more clearly how God would provide salvation by giving his own son. God asked Abram to offer up his son, but then he stopped him. That was all that was required. And as Abraham had said, God did provide. There was a lamb caught by its horns in a bush. And that animal was offered in the place of Isaac. But when God gave his son, whom he loved, his beloved son, his only begotten son, just like Isaac was loved by his father Abraham, just like Isaac was Abraham's only begotten son, the son of promise, God gave his son. But there is no animal sacrificed in the place of God's son. But rather Jesus, he died in our place. As Romans 8:32 says about God, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Isaac was spared, but God's son was not. He died for us in our place. God's beloved son. And I believe this helped Abraham as he looked forward to what God would do. And you and I look back to what God did, the love that God showed toward us. And so, will you and I, will we start by faith? God calls us to obey in salvation. to trust, to repent of our sins and trust in Christ as our Savior. He also calls us to obedience, to step out by faith in what He calls us to do, to serve Him in this world. It is by faith that we step out and follow in what God calls us to do. And after that, it is by faith we continue to follow, to walk each day in this world by faith. And it is by faith that we are willing to offer up to God whatever He asks for. I'm not sure what God will ask from us, but are we willing to offer to God whatever it is that He will ask? Abraham obeyed by faith. He sojourned by faith. And he offered up his own son by faith. May our faith also be a faith not just in words or ideas, but a faith of action, a faith that is real, that makes a difference in our world. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Abraham. We know that he didn't always do the right thing. In fact, he made some mistakes. But we thank You for the faith that he had, his faith in You. And we thank You, Father, for the example that He has given to us. Most of all, Father, we thank You for Jesus, that You spared not Your own Son, but that You sent Him to be our Savior, to be the sacrifice for us all. Thank You, Father, for how You provide. I thank You, Father, for how You have provided for this church. And I pray that You will continue to provide for them and watch over them and guide them in Your will. Please also provide for us in our individual lives, in our families. You know the situations that we have and the difficulties that we struggle with. May we grow in our faith. May our hope be in You. May we be looking to the city that You are building, Your kingdom that will last forever. We thank You for Jesus, and we thank You that He is the true King. May we live by faith in this world and show others that they too can trust in Christ and know You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.